Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in San Diego, 92115. Go to, you can also go to sdcarb.com if you're looking for anything and everything to do with carburetors, fuel injections, and distributors, believe it or not. You can, with the old school distributors, they could get a lot of horsepower out of those, believe it or not. And if you have an older car with points and condensers and you want to get rid of it, Stan carries Petronix, which is an awesome electronics ignition system that takes all the pressure off of you having to deal with not being able to start the car, because it can sure as heck be a pain in the neck. So whether you're, it's a stock vehicle, a classic, a hot rod, a race car, doesn't make any difference. Stan is the man. SDCarb.com, SDCarb.com. He's won awards at all types of shows for authenticity. He's got all the parts and pieces that you would ever probably want to trick out your race car. So we didn't actually have anybody scheduled for this segment, but that's perfectly okay. We don't have a problem with that.
Should we talk about the Stingray?
Well, we could talk about the Stingray, but I have to say, I was coming in today and a Stinger GT was on my tail.
Yeah?
That is the longest, lowest four-door sedan on the planet. I am here.
In a, in an era where they're really shortening up cars, it's kind of surprising, isn't
this
it?
Thing, yeah. For some reason, I don't remember it being that long.
Yeah, when we were test driving it. But when you, you're right, when you look at it going down the road, it does look long.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a good little subject matter, and that'd be performance cars.
Right.
You know, you could drive, slap a number on the door.
Oh, sure. And then take it to the autocross.
There's more than you know.
There's a lot. I mean, a lot of people do that with their Miatas. You know, even the old Mazda Protégés, I see a lot of those out on the autocross. Yeah.
And the other thing, too, you know, we were talking, because both of us had the baseline Corvette Stingray.
Right.
Automatic, you know, I mean, believe it or not, if you knock your tire pressure up and, you know, and maybe throw a set of, you know, racing tires on it and a number.
You could, oh, yeah.
If you got any talent at all, you could walk away with a trophy.
Right. The Stingray we were testing is called the Z51, which a lot of people haven't heard of because everyone hears about the ZR1, not to be confused, because the ZR1 is $120,000. Mm. This one that we tested is 40-ish. Mm-hmm. 74-ish. So you're getting a lot less horsepower. You're getting 450 or 60 out of it instead of 700.
But it's fine.
But
it's,
that's the thing. It's perfect for taking it on the track because
the only reason
you can mess around with it.
The only reason I probably wouldn't be inclined to take it on the track is because it's a convertible. If it was a coupe, and you can get a baseline Stingray coupe, you know, for that price, you don't have to. I think it's even a little bit more. Does it charge more for the convertible top? I can't remember. But these are fun cars to go out and flail on a Solo 1 autocross, Solo 2 autocross, because it really brings out what you can do.
Because it's easy to drive. It's not like you have to get in and master a bunch of controls or
anything.
No,
it's
easy.
It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic. It's, you know, and I can't help telling everybody that, you know, it is not a midlife crisis car. Everybody thinks it is. It is not a midlife crisis. It's just a fun car to drive.
I'll tell you this, and maybe you experienced this, but driving it up in Orange County in LA, I got the wave from every other Corvette driver, no matter what kind they had.
Yeah.
They like to wave.
And well,
I hadn't had that in such
Miatas
a long time.
The Miatas don't do that?
No, and neither do the RX-8 owners.
Really? Because when I was a bug-eyed Sprite, when I was a kid, we did it. Harley guys do it.
I know Porsche people do it because I was in a Porsche for a while.
My mini guys do it. My mini guys and girls do it.
Yep.
I'm surprised about Mazda.
I am really surprised, too.
You guys are all stuck.
The culture. They're all snobbies.
You just got to start waving first.
Right.
They'll wave back.
But I'm saying that they didn't try to take you on or anything, but they just were, you know, hey, what's up? And that car got a lot of looks.
Yeah. Black on black.
Black on black.
Had black wheels, black interior.
Yeah,
black
with red accents, you know?
Yeah, on the calipers.
Uh-huh.
Where else did it have it? I can't remember.
Stitching.
That. Yeah, stitching. A lot of red stitching, which was pretty pretty ominous. But there are a lot of cars, believe it or not, folks, out there that are more than capable of giving you the bang for your buck.
On the
and
track.
And driving schools that come with these vehicles. If you buy a BMW, there's a driving school. And there's many of them. There's one up in Irvine. I think there's one in Atlanta. I mean, they're all over the place. And when you purchase a vehicle, I don't know, I'm pretty sure most of those driving schools are comped because they want you to know how to drive it. Ford Raptor. There's a Raptor school that you can take. Mm. And it'll teach you how to utilize this truck to the fullest. Lexus. I didn't realize it, but Lexus has now got a competition driving school. One of the guys I was with was going to it this week. And then who else? BMW, Porsche. I don't know if Maserati.
I was going to say, I think Maserati and Lambo.
They must.
They probably do.
Especially Lambo.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have somebody buy a car of that caliber and then not teach them how to drive it.
Right.
But, so there's... And I know people that'll buy these cars and never take the class. I mean, that's like buying a TV set, all these new TVs that they have today, and throwing away the owner's manual.
And all you want to do is turn
it
on,
turn it off. First 10 channels, I'm golden.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't ask me to do anything else. I'm not interested. No. So then what the heck? Go buy a...
Right.
Yeah, go buy an old RCA.
For me, if you're going to buy one of these high-end sports cars, you should...
Use it.
Figure out what it can do.
Right.
And enjoy it
and
that
not
way.
On the street.
No.
There's enough schools. There's enough tracks. I mean, there's thermal out by Palm Springs.
That private track, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Is that an amazing track?
And then there's the Porsche Experience Center up in Carson where you can take...
Oh, it's Carson. Okay.
Yeah, you can take whatever you want, you know,
take your
out
own
of there.
Beamer.
Yeah, and go and enjoy their track and have lunch there.
Oh, speaking of which, I contacted Sandy Rose
Bowler. Yes.
She works for the Rusty Wallace Driving Experience. So I'm just waiting for calendar dates when they go to Auto Club Speedway, and I'll get you and Brittany a ride.
Well, that'll be sweet.
Yeah, you'll love it. Well, if you've never been on the Auto Club Speedway at speed.
I have not. We only did parade laps in our rotary cars last year.
Yeah,
the parade laps were slow.
Well, this is far from a parade lap because you're in the car by yourself with equipment in your ear.
Nice.
And they're telling you when to go high, when to go low, when to hammer it, when not to, and if you just listen to what they say, you should have no problems. So anyway, so I'm just waiting for, I just want to let you and Brittany, because I know Brittany is listening.
Rusty Wallace, here we come.
Yeah, I've taken that, you know, that course, and it was a lot of fun, and except it was like 182 million degrees at Auto Club Speedway.
So let's do this in the winter.
Yeah, no kidding, because it was chilly. All right, hey, we got Robert Peters on the line, and he is going to chat with us about all kinds of new things, Barona.
Yeah, he's a race car driver out of Barona. He's been in the dwarf car. He's been in the studio before. He's come in and talked to us about his racing.
Told you Brittany was listening.
What'd she say?
In capital letters, YES, hyphen, 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 hyphen.
Oh.
So,
there it is.
Yeah, we owe her anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk to Robert and find out what he's got planned for the tail end of the season and what he's got going for next season. Because I know everybody's working on next season, even though they say they're not.
And his son, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sounds good.
Racer Radio. This is FM 96.1 in the North, AM 1170 in San Diego. We are
The Answer.
That's FM 96.1 in the north, AM 1170 in the south, and we are the
Answer.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford. And by the way, happy, happy birthday to Paul Dyke. Paul Dyke's birthday today. He's over at Vegas with the NASCAR boys and the Ford camp, hanging out with Tony Stewart. But hey, if you're looking for a new car, used car, this is the place to be. Family owned and operated since its inception, 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. Check the Ford guys out. Make sure you tell them you heard us right here on KCBQ. And this, they also support Barona Circle Track because Paul races out there on occasion along with his sons. But Barona Circle Track is the only dirt track we've got in San Diego that is effective and working really, really well. And one of the stars from the track is on the air right now, Robert Peters. How you doing, Robert?
How's it going, Dave?
You know, just living the dream. How about you?
Yeah. I hear you. Trying to get this car back together here already.
Uh-oh.
What's wrong with it? Is that just normal maintenance?
We banged it up a little bit last night. We went up to Ventura and got a little tangled up in the main event, but nothing too serious. Easy fix.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in racing, you got to know how to fix them.
Yep, it's just part of the game. But
so
track up there.
How are you looking as far as the getting close to the championship? Anything like that?
No, that's out of reach. Tony Isabella, he's pretty much got that one in the bag this season. But next season, you know, we got a good shot at it. We got a new car this year. Mm-hmm. Just picked it up. Just recently, two races ago, and it's a absolute rocket.
Wow. So
So what's the difference between the new one and the old one?
Oh, he's not going to tell you that.
Well, it's a different type, I think. Brittany said EEE versus B
and B. By the way, give her your setup numbers, too, would you please?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. Then we'll have
it's all. It's a B&B chassis. Same one as Brittany drives.
Uh-huh.
The cars are phenomenal. It's night and day on how the performance and everything on them is ridiculous. Can't even explain it.
Oh.
Wow, that's awesome.
See, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
And so you got a buyer. See, they were trying to get me to buy your old one.
Ah.
No.
That was a fun car, too. Don't get me wrong. It's just to compete with these big boys, you know, you gotta have one of them, the newer cars, definitely.
Right. Well, good.
Yeah. It's fun.
Absolutely. Man, that's great.
Yeah.
So new car next year. Same sponsors, or did you grab anybody new?
We got a couple new ones. My work's always been good to me. ASI, the White Glove guys, they've been doing a lot for me. And we got a new tire sponsor. They help out. You know, we do a lot of tire changes and stuff, so they help out. Bueno Vista Tires. And then we still have all the Deja Vus, and that's about it for now.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. And by the way, I've used you guys, and I'm telling you guys are amazing. And folks, the white gloves are real.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
They are.
Hold up the standards.
Yeah. The guys are kind of goofy.
Open the door with them on.
Yeah. The guys are kind of goofy, but the gloves are awesome.
Right?
Hey, well, you know, they're having fun. That's the main thing.
Well, I wanted to hear about Ventura last night. I want to report on Ventura.
Tell us about Ventura. You got any news on that?
Yeah, we got up there. Super nice track. I guess they just recently did some work to it, and they got it all super banked now. But we got there, and they do a different – they kind of do a little bit different than Barona. We do, like, a qualifying hot laps, and qualified fourth for my heat race. So started out my heat race and made my way to the front and just took off, and I guess I set the fastest lap time of the night.
Wow.
In my heat race.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then I got a kind of a crappy pill draw, which sent me back to fifth in the main. And second lap, got a little overexcited. You know, the jitters got to me and I spun out, which sent me to the back. But then I made my way all the way back to third place.
Whoa. Impressive.
Yeah. It was exciting. Kind of a lot of cautions, a lot of yellows, but it was kind of a one lane track. You know, everybody stayed to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was fun. We had a lot of fun. Everybody up there was super nice.
Really? I'm surprised.
So, yeah.
Oh, please.
No, I am. I'm dead serious.
Why? You don't think
because when we were there watching, the some of the racers didn't exactly have a great attitude when they won and stuff like that in their speeches. Yeah. They were unsportsmanlike.
Oh, that's not good.
But that's not coming out of Barona.
No, no. I'm talking about Ventura.
No.
That there were some locals that didn't exactly have a good reputation for being sportsmen.
Right.
Good sports. So
I think they were kind of like, what the heck? Who's this new guy comes up here and just whoops on us like this?
Well, they had to have some respect, right?
Well,
right.
There's always that guy.
Yeah. And then so you got to podium.
Yeah.
And so did you remember, like Brittany said, when she got she podiumed up there, too? She didn't really know where to go for the tech.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know neither. There was the one guy after my heat race. He was like, I think you need to weigh your car. Like, I don't know if they thought I was cheating or something. But it was fun. We had a good time.
Good. Well, congratulations on your third place.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's my second heat race win in this new car and third time driving the car. So
wow.
I think it's going to be good next year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you get I think we've had this conversation when I raced go-karts, cause I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I would take the cart and my checkbook to a guy that would build carts. And I says, here's my checkbook. Here's the cart. Call me when it's done. And if I lose, it had better be my fault. And it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked because, you know, there is a combination between, you know, equipment and talent. And sometimes equipment will always defeat talent, you know, whenever it feels like it. But boy, if you could ever get that combination, I'm telling you.
All right. Now, your son Tristan is racing. Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
I can't thank Bobby Brown enough. That's who I bought the car from.
Wow.
Yeah, unreal. I didn't even think that it was going to be possible. And he's helping me out tremendously on just, you know, passing on some of his knowledge, which is phenomenal. You know, it's like being able to buy Jeff Gordon's car or something.
I know. Well, you know, he was huge at Cajon Speedway.
Right.
And he was fast. You know,
he's the man at Barona, too. So.
Oh, I know.
It's an honor.
He's fat. Yeah, I know. You just gave me goosebumps on top of goosebumps because it's like you said, it's like just receiving a Jeff Gordon car.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that put any pressure on you? Did that put any pressure on you a little bit?
A little bit. It made me feel like, all right, well, now I'm going to see. Is it me or the car?
Yeah,
you know?
No excuses.
In my old car, I felt like, all right, I'm. Is it me? I couldn't tell, you know. Yeah. But now it's pretty neat, you know, to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby keeps telling me, stop saying thank you.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? Hey, a little bit of respect. We haven't had that very long in this country. So I think it's a great thing that you say thank you, and down deep inside, you know, he appreciates it. Otherwise he wouldn't even be doing it. But no, I think that's awesome. And now that you got the new car and the new, and really a new track at Barona, you know, because the Salazar's brought in all this dirt and they've been really manicuring it, and you know, it sounds, I mean, the racing out there now is as good as it's ever been, I think.
Oh yeah, phenomenal! The last race we just had, that's probably the best track we've ever had, that I've ever had anyway up there, and it was phenomenal. Smooth, tons of bite. No, you know, it was perfect. Okay. Couldn't ask for a better track.
They're really dialing it in.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely getting a handle on it for sure.
Okay, and I interrupted you before, but I wanted you to talk about Tristan.
Yeah, Tristan. So. He was going to finish out the season, but we got informed that he's only had two races this year. We had a little problem with his car, and they said if he raced one more, then he wouldn't be eligible for Rookie of the Year. So he's going to sacrifice these last two or three races that we have and then just start brand new next season and shoot for that Rookie of the Year and hopefully the championships.
So where are you going to tie him up?
he's going to be in the pure stocks.
No, I said, where are you going to tie him up for the next three races? I mean, put him in a closet. You're going to have to do something with him.
Plenty to.
Yeah, that's what you say.
You're right?
Oh, my God.
No, I can see it on his face. He's definitely bummed out. But, he made that decision himself. I told him we'd get you back out there. But he's like, no, you know what? It's something you could only get once in your life, you know, Rookie of the Year. So.
Well, you know,
he's going to hold off.
He's thinking big picture, you know, and you got it.
Right.
And how old is this kid?
He just turned 17.
That's called big picture, man. I mean, you got to be proud.
That's
you
maturity.
Yeah, because if he just wanted to go out and drive, well, then okay. But to blow, because if it sounds to me like he would probably like to do this professionally.
He would love to. So, yeah, that would definitely be his dream.
He's building a resume. What's the first thing you do?
Right.
You win the rookie. Okay, the next thing, the next goal, you got to win a championship. And then he's got it figured out. He's got it figured out. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Takes after his mom.
Yeah, definitely.
Just had to throw that one out there.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head.
Did you ever not watch Bill Cosby? And when he did his show, and he took his son, he took him a football and a baseball, and in the hospital, and taught him everything he wanted to know. And the kid finally becomes really good. And the first time he's on TV, who's he thank?
His mom.
Thank you. End discussion.
Right.
So hey, if people want to, I know you'll always take money and sponsorship. So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do it?
They could go on my Facebook. Just look up Robert Peters. I'll accept any friend requests there. Come up to the track, come to our pits. Come up to Barona and watch us all race, you know, and we're more than willing to go and talk to people and do whatever. And hopefully next year, I hope I'm at the caliber to be championship. That'd be awesome, you know, but, we'll see what happens.
Your next race is next weekend, right?
Yes. Yep.
And you'll be at Barona?
Cool. Yeah, we'll be at Barona. And then I believe we have this next one and then one more after that. And then the third one is our open comp.
Wow, that's going to be awesome. What's the number on your car for people that are sitting in the stands and don't know who we are talking about?
It's number 5.
All right, number 5. What color is the car?
Number 5. The car is black with a white number 5.
And what's it going to be next year?
We were thinking maybe doing white and gold. Oh. I haven't seen that combo yet.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. It's always cool to find a combo that nobody else has got.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen teal? Have you ever seen that real weird teal blue?
Just on that sprint car for Moose Racing.
Oh, that's right.
They had it.
That's where I seen it.
Yeah. Up in Paris.
Yeah, don't mind me. Huh. All right, buddy. Hey, well, it's always a joy. You can call in anytime you like. I mean, we do appreciate it. You're a local kid. You're doing extremely well. And tell your boy to get ready.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys, too. And thank you, Brittany, for always setting this up. And love racing with her.
She's the best.
Appreciate it. Oh, she is.
She really is.
Super awesome.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks,
all right,
Robert.
Folks. We're going to go ahead and take a small break. When we get done, we've got guess who?
We got Jake Swanson, who used to run that color combination you were just talking about.
I know.
Yes, I think he still might have it.
I knew there was someplace I seen
it. When he was with Moose Racing, he for sure did.
I liked that color.
Me too.
I really liked
that
color.
I loved it.
I thought it was this really unique color. All right, well, Jake's on the wing, in the wings as we speak, so we're going to take a small break. This is FM 96.1 in North County. That's right, folks. We are blasting all the way to L.A., AM 1170 in San Diego, all the way to the Mexican border. And we are
AM 1170, The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You are listening to
FM 96.1 in North County and AM 1170 in San Diego, Racer Radio with Dave and Michelle.
That's right. And this segment is Paris Auto Speedway. If you've not been to Paris Auto Speedway, you've totally missed out. Half mile, wicked fast dirt track and it's just run by family. These folks are all super cool to hang with. I mean, you can take the whole family up there.
And the best track on the West Coast, from what I understand.
That's what I hear, too. And I think we got a guy online that could probably back that up, Mr. Jake Swanson. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Michelle. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Living the dream. Not as much as you, but we're trying. What are you doing today?
That's good. I'm actually just headed home with my fiance. We ran up in Ventura last night. So we're on our way back home and going to try to get a little bit of R&R before we get back to work on Monday.
There you go. So how'd Ventura work out for you last night?
You know, it could have been better. Definitely definitely could have been worse, but could have been better as well. We were second fast in qualifying, and got to the lead in the heat race, was leading it, and had a mechanical failure. So ended up not able to finish, and unfortunately with the way the format works, at that point qualifying doesn't mean anything. It's solely based on a heat race finishing position. So that put us at the back of the feature, and I think we had like 21 cars. It was a pretty healthy field of midgets there at Ventura, which is cool.
Because that's a little track. That's a small track.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, it's really about perfect for those midgets, though. You know, you get that many sprint cars out there, and it gets a little bit too tight almost. But the midgets seem to have a fair amount of room. It was a little bit narrow though last night, so there was a lot of Nerf bar banging. But we came from 17th and broke into the top five for a little bit, and ended up finishing sixth. So that was the best we could do with the time that we had.
Yeah, but
considering he started way in the back.
He started almost last. But,
yeah.
But don't you kind of look at a race like that when you know you're going to start that far back and you know you're on a small track and you know getting to the top five is a dream but virtually impossible in most cases. So do you switch your mindset from winning the race to learning the race? Or do you still have that desire? Or do you still have that desire for that checkered flag? Because anything can happen.
No, yeah, I mean, I still go out there as hungry as, you know, I still got a good shot at anybody to win the thing.
Right.
I don't really want to beat myself before I even take the green. Because you never know. I mean, 30 laps, it could be a really short amount of time, and it could be a really long amount of time. You could get to the point to where a couple of the leaders crash out, and you find yourself in the top five about halfway.
Yeah.
You know, you never really know how things are going to play out, but this one in particular, I just with the amount of cars that we had and how narrow the track was at first, I was talking to my team about it. I said, honestly, it's unfortunately starting that far back. It could either go really, really good or really bad, you know. And usually the odds are stacked against you.
Yeah.
But luckily for us, it was on the better side. You know, we were able to get through with minor incidents and kind of stay out of the chaos for the most part, and end up with a decent finish and no tore up race cars. So
that's a huge thing right there.
Anytime you can bring them home in one piece,
right? Because you're racing next weekend, aren't you?
that'll be with a different car. So next weekend we're running out in Paris with the sprint car.
Oh, okay. So you run the midgets and then you run the sprints as well. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to race as much as I can. You know, it's helps me stay sharp. Luckily, I got a lot of good people, good teams, good guys that want to work with me, want to race with me. And, I'm very fortunate, very blessed right now to have the opportunities that I have and the people supporting me that I do, in order to be busy every weekend.
Yeah, well, without a shadow of a doubt. So, goals and aspirations for next year?
I'm just kind of playing it by ear right now. This year's been a little bit of a struggle for us. Seemed like we've always been there and in position to win races, but for whatever reason, something happens, and we just can't seem to seal the deal this year. But to be honest with you, there's been a bit of a transition period. I switched teams about mid-year. I was driving that 92 car that you guys were referring to earlier, the teal and purple car.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up moving on, and had quite a few people contact me wanting to run, and ended up driving for these guys from Arizona. Actually, they drive all the way out and tow a car or two out, and we'll run. They want to run as much as they can too, so it's kind of nice. You know, we're doing 360 stuff, we're doing 410 stuff.
Wow.
They plan on running the Western Worlds, so, which is the end of the year in Arizona, 360 and 410. They're all in, which is really cool, and it's definitely going to be a busy year for the rest of the year. And once we get to the end of the year, we'll kind of decide which direction we want to go and how much racing we want to do next year.
Right. With the new car and the new team, different sponsors?
I actually got a lot of the same people helping me, which is kind of neat. I've got, a lot of my guys transitioned over with me Lucas Oil, K&N, Light Up the World Beverages, Burris Racing. You know, all those people. Mm-hmm. They've been with me a long time, and it's nice to be able to do anything, go anywhere, and they've always got my back. You know, but this team also has a couple of their own sponsors. You know, they've got Western Premier Hauling, and they've got a drywall company, a hardwood company, and stuff that's local for them out there. Mm-hmm. And they've actually got a different shock sponsor. So that was probably the biggest transition for me, was working with a different shock manufacturer. Which, luckily for me, having a shock business, I'm able to work with both of them. So it wasn't that bad of a transition, or wasn't that difficult of a transition, I should say. But you know, there's always going to be some new car blues. There's always going to be some wrinkles to iron out with anything that you just jump in. But luckily for me, these guys are pretty intelligent, and we went up to run California Sprint Week there a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the first couple races were a bit of a struggle, but they seemed to, by the end of the week, and we ended up with some pretty good finishes. So I'm really excited about the rest of the year. I know these guys are going to be good. We're going to be good as a team. We're definitely going to be successful, but just getting it fine-tuned. Like right. I said, getting the wrinkles ironed out.
So for people that are not aware that shocks are about as complicated as anything could possibly be, how was the transition going from one company to another company? Because I'm sure they didn't adjust the same. There was a lot of differences between the two. Was it a positive mood? Excuse me.
You know, I wouldn't call it positive or negative. It was just a sidestep. Both companies, you know, they both still support me, the other company I was with, ARS. You know, they'll always be on my midget stuff, the stuff that I own. The transition over to CSIs was, I would just call it a sidestep. You know, I don't think they're any better or worse right. by any means. But just a little bit different. They adjust a little bit differently.
Right.
They function a little bit differently, and even the maintenance and stuff like that is a little bit different. I was rather familiar with them just because I've been fortunate to run other cars that have these shocks on them.
Uh-huh.
So the transition for me wasn't that big of a deal. But you know, when you throw in a few more variables, new cars and new teams and just a different working relationship, it's gonna be a change. You know,
right.
So you gotta have enough sense to figure it out. You know, just keep your head down, keep working at it until sure. you get the car balanced the way that suits the driver, and get everything working as comfortably as possible. And I think we're there now. You know, I think it took a few races. Luckily, we had a week of racing to kind of get everything dialed in over a very short period of time. But
right.
I think we're definitely on the right track for sure.
What do we call that? Shock overload?
yeah. It can be a bit shocking.
Yeah, I'm sure it can. Hey,
lol.
You know, are you going to chime in with a comedy one? Come on, throw on.
No, I don't. I thought he built his own shock absorbers.
He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when he's riding on somebody else's steering wheel, he kind of has to go with whatever they bring to the table.
Got it.
He's a hired gun. Then, see, he flies in his Learjet,
uh-huh.
gets out, goes gets in the limo. They take him to the track. They give him his blue M&Ms, gets in the race car, wins, and goes back, right?
Gets his champagne and his caviar.
Right, Jake?
That's about it, man.
Yeah.
That's what we call living the dream.
That's it.
And we're not telling anybody.
And he's not
the
going
truth.
Back to that full time job on Monday. Oh no, no.
Oh yeah, right.
Not, right. Yeah.
Until it's when he wakes up when that alarm goes off, and
yeah,
it's like,
that's, oh, the dream's over. Yeah. That's right.
Well, it's always a joy interviewing you, and you know, KUSI TV's always open if you ever get yourself in a situation, maybe after the season. I think it'd be good for the new car owners, the new team. And, you know, I'm sure you got a new color scheme. I'd love to get you down there and do a segment and, you know, hook you up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd really enjoy that. Just let me know anytime.
Good. You got my email address, so that should work out fine.
Okay, perfect.
You do have it, right? I think you do.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I can get it from Scott.
Yeah. Scotty's got it. No problem at all. All right, yeah. Buddy. Well, hey, enjoy the rest of your weekend and go home and get a little R&R and knock them dead tomorrow.
Sounds good. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, buddy. Jake.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a small break, folks. We come back a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio.
FM 96.1 in North County and AM 1170 in San Diego. We are the answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to
Racer Radio. FM 96.1 in North County and AM 1170 in San Diego.
That's right. You can check out Certified Car Clinic. They're the sponsors of this segment. 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. CertifiedCarCare.net. They'll take care of all your automotive needs. They also do performance tuning, dyno tuning. But they also work on everyday cars and trucks. So you might want to check them out. And if you're into using hose specialties, these are guys that do the custom plumbing for underneath your hood. I'm telling you, it's absolutely the way to go. So right now we're having a call-in from Ken Dickerson. He's calling in right now. We've got some great news about his son, Dakota. And if you guys have been listening or watching anything I got my fingers in, we've been working with Dakota. Hey, Ken, how's it going, man?
Good, Dave. How are you doing this afternoon?
Is this a good opportunity to say proud papa?
Yeah, it's probably one of those rare moments in racing. As you know, they come far and few in between, but this weekend was nearly a perfect one.
Unbelievable. Okay, to start off with, for folks that may not know what Dakota races, kind of give him a little synopsis as to what he started at, where he's at now, and what he just got offered to him.
Right. So just real shortly, you know, classic starting position, you know, karting for many, many years, made the transitions into sports cars for a little bit of training. That's how we actually ran into you at some point. Mm-hmm. I think you did a track day with Dakota, and then we brought the Miata in at KUSI, and then we did a little expose there. Then he got a scholarship and moved up into the real serious open wheel type format, which is kind of his passion, or it definitely is his passion. And this year he raced in what was called the F4 US Championship. So the FIA series, the same series that regulates Formula One, brought a series over the United States and created, you know, a series and a format for young drivers to go up through the ladder, you know, either to F1 or IndyCar. So today was a great day because we locked out the 2018 championship.
Oh,
can you believe that? That's wow. What I said. Is this a proud papa moment or what?
Congratulations. Go team.
Yeah,
it was, you know, it was fantastic. It's not easy. It's a spec series, Dave. Yeah. And Michelle, so that means everybody's running a Honda Type R motor. So if you're a car guy, I mean, what's inside of these things is the street version of a Honda Type R motor, the thing that Civic came out with, Honda came out with. But they're all racing the same exact car, same chassis, same motor, same setup. And so it's really designed to accentuate engineer and driver. And, you know, that's what makes you go to the front. And so today, Dakota needed to come out of the championship with 51 points to not have to worry about the next race. And the next race is actually in Austin with F1. Since we're part of that series, Dakota would be racing with F1, you know, in his class. And we walked away today with 56 points.
Oh, cool.
No pressure going to Austin, which right. is fantastic.
Right. So when's the Austin race?
It's in October, and geez, I should know that off the top of my head. And I can tell you, I kind of scatterbrained today.
Well, the champagne actually hasn't worn off yet, right?
No, October 19th through 21st out in Austin. And that, you know, that's a huge party because they usually have live entertainers out there, but all the Formula One guys are there. And so, you know, it's a big hoopla. And Dakota gets to participate in that. And then he gets to go to Europe and get his trophy at the same event that the Formula One drivers get their championship trophies. And he'll be hanging out with F1 drivers and doing the same thing they do.
Oh, is there any particular Formula One driver who's, you know, someone that he really looks up to, or are there a few?
Yeah, I mean, yes, Sebastian Vettel has been his longtime favorite for a long time, you know, a guy that also came up through karting and you know, kind of did the standard format. So Dakota's followed him quite closely. And I think he, you know, he really enjoys Kimi Raikkonen as well. And I, you know, right now what's really interesting too, and I mean, just to kind of accentuate how diverse the series is, Dakota's teammate is actually Eduardo Barrichello, who, if you follow F1, Rubens Barrichello just drove for Williams like 2 years ago, and that his son is actually Dakota's teammate.
Oh, wow. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, he's much younger. Eduardo's like 16, Dakota's 21, but anyway, it's it always makes for a fun paddock when you have an F1 driver.
Well, heck yeah. So has he met either Sebastian or Kimi yet?
He has never met, he's never met either one. So,
so
it'll be really
maybe either in Austin or when he goes over to Europe, he'll get to meet them?
Yeah, you know, actually, he might have met Sebastian last year when he raced at F1, same thing. I'm not sure, I can't remember, but, you know, the banquet in Europe is a black tie tuxedo thing, you know, because, you know, F1 doesn't spare any expense, right? So we'll certainly be the little guy in that event, but we'll certainly walk, or he'll certainly walk around, you know, proud as can be, I'm sure.
Are you going with him?
I'm not going to go with him due to work. We're probably, you know, at this level, Dave, you know, since the last time we met you, it's just gotten so serious with the mission of his career being this.
Yeah.
And we'll probably send his, you know, business manager with him.
Yeah.
You know, because it's you never stop networking. You know?
Well, yeah. And you're there just for the accolades and the clapping. You need to have his business manager there to get the contract signed.
Yeah, when you're 21, I don't necessarily know if you always want your parents around.
Well, it's going to be a huge party.
Yeah.
It is.
In Europe.
And he's 21. So it's great. So, you know, like I said, Dave has been a big supporter of Dakota's for a long time and done several things for us to put us, you know, constantly out in the media. And that's what it's all about. It's about a fan base, you know, or a sponsorship base. And that's so important in this sport because unlike other ones, he did win a scholarship, which will fund most of what he will race next year. So he will move up to the Formula 3 series. So the whole format is F3, F4, F3, F2, F1. And so, you know, now he'll move up to F3, which is the same motor, but now just way more horsepower, bigger tires, faster cars. So it'll be really exciting.
So,
really exciting. So
not to skim over the scholarship, tell folks how difficult is it to win that scholarship? How many kids did he had to drive against to get to that scholarship? We're not talking five.
No, this series in particular is really taken off in the United States. And again, it's a F4 is in South America, Asia, Europe, Australia, everywhere. He raced this weekend, for example, I believe there were 34, and that's kind of a solid average, I would say, between 30 and 34 cars per race weekend. This is very much set up like Formula One, where each team has two or three, some teams as many as five cars that you're gathering data on. So you're racing against 30 people every weekend. Certainly the top 10 are the gladiators who are fighting it all out, you know, race to race. And only one person comes away with this major scholarship, which basically helps you get through the next stepping ladder up, which is F3. And so, yeah, we're back into that again. So that's great.
Now, he was also involved in the Mazda series with the MX-5s, right?
He was. He was involved in two ways. He was involved with the Miata stuff.
Right.
And then he also previously won a scholarship through Mazda to race in the Mazda Road to Indy, which he still shares part duty with. He was racing that this year as well. Mm-hmm. I think he finished maybe 13th, but he only did half a season. But Mazda has always been a huge supporter of Dakota. In fact, when something happened in that series mid-season, they called him kind of out of retirement and said, hey, we need you to come back over and sit in a car and finish the season for us. And so, Mazda's, as you know, Mazda's been huge in driver development for every aspect, sports cars to open wheel in the United States.
Without a shout, there's no other manufacturer I know of that's even close. It was kind of unfortunate to see Mazda pull that program for 2018, I think?
Next year.
Or next year, 2019.
Yeah, so when we spoke to, like, Dugan and those kind of guys, it looks to me like what they're going to do is roll back out of the open wheel format. But I think they do still, they're still going to maintain a sports car commitment to some level. So I don't know that MX-5 Cup will get diluted out too much. I mean, obviously I'm not a representative of Mazda, but sounds like they're still going to keep some of the sports car stuff going, but certainly had to make that transition out of the Mazda Road to Indy.
Yeah. And you know, but you know, it is what it is. You guys took full advantage of it. I mean, nobody worked harder at this program than Dakota and you and the whole team. I mean, you guys have been doing this solid for how many years now?
The karting started at 6, and it's really been every weekend, at least every month of every year since then. It's been our, you know, it's been his passion. It's been our, you know, vicarious ride along, if you will. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed every minute of it. But yeah, he's you know, he's one of those kids that at 6 he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and I can't say that I didn't try to divert that a couple times, but sure. Came right back to it. And there's no point in driving anybody away from their passion.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, for him to be able to stick to it this long, you know, and he didn't have parents that beat him up and say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to get out there. No, you guys kind of gave him a free rein because he knew what he wanted to do. And I said when I first met him, this kid is going to go straight to the top. Don't forget Dakota Dickerson, folks. It's going to be on the highlight reels because, I mean, he's that good. And he's a good person, too. He's a good person, and that's really a bonus.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying that it really helps if you can be, you know, articulate and mm-hmm. professional outside of a car. Most people have this false impression with race car drivers that, you know, we're in a car. He's in a car every weekend all the time. The fact of the matter is he only races about 20% of his life.
Yeah.
The other 80% is securing the funds and the opportunities that are needed to do the sport. So if you're not good outside the car, unless you just got a big paycheck, you know, or you got a big wallet, you have to do it that way. And it's a necessity, but it pays off in, you know, other aspects of life too.
Well, it's made him the man he's going to be. And in case you didn't know it, if you ever want to make $4 million in motorsports, you start with 6. And you're halfway there.
That's right. And then you end up with maybe 0.
Yeah, maybe. You're
lucky. You still have your house.
Kent, thank you very much. I'm so glad you jumped in and bailed us out because we didn't have anything for the 45. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Dakota. And we'll definitely get you guys back on radio and TV. Thanks a million, buddy.
Thank you, Ken.
All right. Thanks, Dave, Michelle. Thank you very much. You guys have a great Sunday.
You too.
All right, folks. Hey, we're going to hit the road. Happy trails. But don't go too far. Gun Sports Radio's coming up. We got the skeleton in today. That would be called the Skeleton Crew right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook. And we are The Answer.
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.